Welcome to 70s Beatles. I'm Scott.
And I'm Kate.
On this podcast, we take a solo album from each of the former Beatles, and taking turns, we each pick songs to fill up what would be our theoretical, hypothetical, what if the Beatles stayed together album. By using John's own suggested template, four songs apiece for George, Paul, and himself, along with one or two Ringo tunes, we build out our individual albums. After a month or so, we go back and use Spotify data to calculate the percentage increase in the number of plays for each track. We then total these percentages and see which one of us is holding the winning album.
And the winner of our second batch of albums will be announced today. This is the results episode for our second batch of albums. The albums we chose our songs from were the second solo records from each of our beloved Beatles. They are Ram by Paul McCartney, John's Imagine, Disc 2 of George's All Things Must Pass. You'll know if you listened to our previous episodes. We opted to split this enormous album up, and Ringo's singles Early 1970 and It Don't Come Easy.
So let's just quickly recap our picks. I put together an album which I just called Ram, because it's a good enough name. Opens with the Blaring Horns of Art of Dying by George, then goes right into the crazy vocals of Paul's Monkberry Moon Delight, followed by the rather acerbic How Do You Sleep from John, and then the far more conciliatory Beatles track, Early 1970. From there, we've got Beware of Darkness and Oh My Love as a pair of softer songs, and we end side one with Dear Boy. Flipping the theoretical album over, we open with Apple Scruffs, with its wacky harmonica leading perfectly into O Yoko, followed by the semi-title track Ram On, and ending with Hear Me Lord, Give Me Some Truth, and Because I Didn't Get Backseat of the Car, Long-Haired Lady.
I have to say, I think that as I was listening through your album that you put together, The Art of Dying is a fantastic opening track. That was an excellent choice to open up the album. It just comes right at you. And I think that it would have worked as an opening track on All Things Must Pass. Honestly, it was a great opener.
Yeah, it does get a little buried inside, whatever, four or five.
Yeah. So my album, which I opted to call Heart of the Country, because I felt it was sort of fitting to not only Paul's songs, obviously, but to the kind of rustic twang some of these songs had, I opted for a more soft opening with George's Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp. And then I put my title track second, Heart of the Country. And then I went into Paul's Crippled Inside. And then Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. Next was Jealous Guy. And then Too Many People. The penultimate track of side one was my Ringo song, which is It Don't Come Easy. I opened side two with All Things Must Pass. Then went into Imagine, then Isn't It a Pity, then George's A Waiting on You All, and then I Don't Want to Be a Soldier by John, and I closed it out with The Backseat of My Car.
Yeah, there's really no place to put Backseat of My Car other than the end. It is so
right,
apocalyptic, cataclysmic, I don't know. Feels like an ending kind of song.
Definitely. It's very resolute.
But if you want to hear more about our full selection process, check out the previous episode. Feel free to listen to the albums, as we have the Spotify playlist linked up in the website in the episode's notes. You can also track the Spotify data along with us. We've linked our tracker in the episode notes as well. So, you know, we've thought of everything for you guys. You're welcome.
So in this results episode, just to give you a little outline, we're going to, of course, announce our Spotify data winner. We're also going to get into some fun data. We'll find the top performing songs for each respective Beatle, and we'll find the top three performing songs overall. We'll rank some of these stats against previous batches of albums. So we have our batch from the first solo Beatles records, so we'll compare the data that we have now against that batch. And then we'll round it out with a discussion of some new, exciting Beatles stuff that is happening right now. And we will call that segment Beatles in the News.
Let's get right into it. This batch was a close one. Very close. I had 208.08 and Kate only had 207.78. So I managed to squeak by 0.3 points.
Yeah, you beat me.
which I think that might have actually been a wise choice, because that means in the next batch, you'll get to choose first.
Yeah.
And there's some tough choices in this next batch. So
right.
That might be to your advantage to know that there's at least one song that you get to pick free and clear without any competition. I have to put some thought into what I'm going to do.
Yeah, this was strategic for me. I lost on purpose. That was, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You had some great picks on there, so it doesn't surprise me at all.
So we're now 1-1.
Yes, so we're tied.
I'm sure we'll have to see where we go from here, but let's get into some of the stats. Before we get into our quote-unquote top performers, we are talking about just the number of plays in Spotify and not necessarily what is best or what is most successful. But that's the algorithm that we've chosen to abide by.
Right. So in other words, it's not the song that has the highest number of plays total over the course of its entire existence on Spotify. But between the time we picked the songs and the time we're talking about it now, how much did it increase percentage-wise relative to the other numbers? Is that correct?
Yes, that is our methodology. It may not be perfect, but that's what we're going with.
That's what we're rocking with. Okay, so to get into the top songs from each artist, John's number one song was Oh My Love, which had a 1.81 percentage increase. That was Scott's song. Paul's number one song was Ram On, Reprise, which had a 3% percentage increase. That was also Scott's song. I had George's top performing song, which was The Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp, which had a 2.44% increase. And I also had Ringo's top song, which was It Don't Come Easy, which had a 1.05 percentage increase. So we each had two.
Yes, which worked out. In fact, I did not pick the correct version of Ram On. I picked the original and not the reprise, so I did not get those points.
Oh.
But oddly enough, overall, of all the songs we've done so far, the highest percentage increase of any song is that reprise of Ram On, which is all of 48 seconds and contains a little snippet of the unreleased song Big Barn Bed on it. I think it may have just been really low to begin with, so it didn't take much for it to jump up, but it did jump up a whole 3%.
Yeah.
Over the course of the month.
Yeah, that's a jump.
And our second and third ones are actually tied at 2.44% with Hold On from Plastic Ono Band and Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp, which I think you have been pretty instrumental in pumping those numbers up.
Yes, I was about to say, we've talked about this, that the Ballad of Sir Frankie Crisp is on my constant rotation. I'm listening to this song like 4 or 5 times a day. So yes, I would like to think that I played a very big part in those numbers.
So looking at the overall increases by album, Ram has the highest jump with a 1.75% increase, while the second one is McCartney by Paul McCartney. So Paul seems to be running the board so far with a 1.53.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we got John with Imagine at 1.45 and Plastic Ono Band at 1.4. So far, it's been Paul, then John. All Things Must Pass, Disc 1, went up 1.22%, while All Things Must Pass, Disc 2, is only at number 7 at 0.99%, with Ringo's second single doing slightly better than Ringo's first single.
It doesn't shock me that Paul's albums have the highest percentage increase, given that he's still alive and kicking and promoting and sort of in the public eye. But it does surprise me how low All Things Must Pass is, both Disc 1 and Disc 2, especially compared to like John's albums. And then also it looks like Ringo's second single is in 6th place here, whereas All Things Must Pass Disc 2 is in 7th place. That's just a little bit surprising to me.
It's a little odd. I think part of it is because All Things Must Pass had that big anniversary deluxe reissue like 2 years ago, so that pumped up the numbers, and now it's sort of flattened out since then. But that's just speculation on my part.
That would make sense. All right, we also have an interactive poll up on our website, as well as our Facebook group, to see what songs are most popular with our listeners. So far, for our first batch, we've got votes for John's Plastic Ono Band. We have Isolation, God, Mother, and Working Class Hero.
Yeah, for Paul, we've got Teddy Boy and Junk, and Maybe I'm Amazed have the highest votes from our listenership.
For George, we've got Wawa, My Sweet Lord, and Isn't It a Pity?
And we did get one pity vote for Coochie Coochie.
I have to say, I was surprised to see, of all the Ringo songs we've covered, like, the one we have a pick for is Coochie Coochie. I guess you've been advocating for Coochie Coochie. I think I need to just, you know, get over my hesitation with the song. People seem to like it.
Well, and I do think it's interesting that our listeners, the most popular choice is Isn't It a Pity version 1, which was a song that neither one of us actually chose.
Right, yeah.
Back in our batch 1, so I'm not sure what that says about our listeners, but they apparently disagree with us. So, you know, feel free to vote on the next batch or, you know, keep voting on the first batch or send us an email, or we are trying to make this more interactive. So interact.
Yes, I would love to hear what the fans have to say about Coochie Coochie. Change my mind, please.
Now in Beatles in the News. I read the news today. Oh, boy. We're still waiting for new episodes of the Life and Lyrics podcast from Paul.
Yeah, we mentioned in the last episode, it was relatively new by the time we were recording that. I believe the first Life and Lyrics episode came out in July of 2023. And there has not been a new one since October of 2023. I believe there's about 24 episodes out now, so I don't know if maybe they just hit pause on it or if that's all that they had. I have to believe that there's going to be more coming. Maybe there's just kind of a pin in it for now. Regarding Paul's tour, his last show of the Got Back tour was in Rio de Janeiro on December 16th, 2023. But hopefully there will be more tour dates announced soon, especially because of something else we're going to mention here in a moment in the Beatles in the News segment.
Knowing Paul, he will be going on tour somewhere sometime soon.
Yeah. There's a Beatles book. It's called 1964 Eyes of the Storm. Not necessarily Beatles, like, quote unquote, in the news with this one, because the book is not new. It was released back in June of 2023, but it's new for me because I got the book for Christmas. It's a collection of Paul's own photographs from the height of Beatlemania in 63 and 64. I'm really enjoying flipping through it and seeing all of the very intimate pictures of the Beatles from this time taken from the perspective of a Beatle. And I'll just read you the synopsis real quick to see if it's something that strikes your interest. So, taken with a 35mm camera by Paul McCartney, these largely unseen photographs capture the explosive period from the end of 1963 through early 1964, in which the Beatles became an international sensation and changed the course of music history, featuring 275 images from the six cities, Liverpool, London, Paris, New York, Washington, D.C., and Miami, of these legendary months. In particular, the pictures of them in Miami are so funny. You know, they're in their little 60s, like, swim trunks, and, you know, they're so skinny, and they're, like, swimming around, jumping off of diving boards and pools and stuff. It's a cute little inside look at them at this time.
Yeah, and, you know, having been so mired in the post-breakup, angry, bitter divorce years, it's nice to see pictures of the Beatles liking each other and having fun together and just seeming to be having a good time.
Right.
I mean, it's not the deepest thing. Ringo's put out a couple of books of photographs and postcards as well, and it's a nice coffee table book to have around.
That's exactly right, and that is exactly where it is in my home, is on my coffee table. And then another book that is relatively new, it was released on November 14th, 2023. Again, new for me. I got this one for my birthday. Living the Beatles Legend. I have not had the chance to read it yet, but I did read the Wall Street Journal review of the book, and I can't wait to crack into it. It's a full-length biography of Mal Evans, who was the Beatles' beloved friend, confidant, and roadie. He was very involved with the band as a member of sort of their inner circle. Apparently, he's responsible for the hand claps on Birthday, the harmonies on Dear Prudence. He's in the Penny Lane video. He was part of the brainstorming session where Paul came up with the idea of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and apparently contributed to a number of lyrics. This was sort of a surprise for me. I've looked into the Beatles' history extensively, you know, both through this podcast and just kind of on my own, and I have never heard of this guy. So this was an interesting sort of pickup for me.
Yeah, he is, you know, around from not the very beginning, but before they hit it big. I can see why they kept him around, because he looks huge and intimidating. He's like 6'4 or something.
Mm.
But he is just a cuddly teddy bear. I mean, you can see him in the Get Back documentary, and he's the one banging the anvil when they're practicing Maxwell's Silverhammer. And he just looks so thrilled to be part of it that the ending, his life did not go well after the Beatles broke up, but he still remained close to all of them, which was saying something. He even co-wrote one of the songs off of Ringo's Ringo album with George Harrison, so.
Yeah.
There's word that he kept rather extensive notes and diaries, and that those may be published at some point, but that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
When it does, we will definitely dive into that.
Yes, we will announce that. It mentioned in the review that, yeah, he's been around since the times of the Cavern Club, so he goes way back. And I think that this book, it's not written by him. It's another guy who wrote, I think, collected those notes and diaries and writings that you were talking about and wrote sort of this biography based on those writings. But yeah, it would be great and interesting to see if those notes, diaries, passages themselves get released so that we can read the firsthand account as opposed to this sort of biographical extension.
We will keep you up to date with that as soon as we have any information.
Right.
Other Beatles news, there's not one, but two new EPs by Ringo in the work. One produced by the singer from Four Non Blondes, Linda Perry. And another one, which is more interesting, slightly, because it's a country EP that's going to be produced by T-Bone Burnett. As far as I know, neither one's finished or in any state of pre-production or anything, but that is the rumor. So Ringo is definitely doubling down on the whole EP concept. I think we've seen the last full album from him, but that's okay. A little Ringo goes a long way.
This is true. I'm super excited about this next one.
Yes, because speaking of albums that aren't actually done yet, there's rumors floating around and nothing confirmed that Paul is working on a new album with the producer Andrew Watt, whom he met while contributing bass to the Rolling Stones' latest album. So that could be interesting. That could be exciting. We'll see. I mean,
yeah,
he does put out a new album every 3 to 5 years, so.
Right. And that ties back into what we were talking about with hoping there's some new tour dates. So if there's a new album, there'll probably be new tour dates.
One would assume, yes. Although he's still playing, you know, Come On to Me and Fa You on his dates and ignoring McCartney 3. But maybe it's just hard to play those songs live with the band. He has to, you know, play the drums himself or something.
Right. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that he has worked with Andrew Watt previously. Andrew Watt is actually a really exciting producer. He's worked with a lot of popular acts, Post Malone, Halsey, Maroon 5, pop stuff like that, Elton John and Britney Spears. But he also has sort of pioneered, I think, a lot of the modern rock albums from older bands. Like, he did the Rolling Stones album. He did Iggy Pop's new album back in, I think it was 2022 or 2023. And I think, he worked with Eddie Vedder as well. So he's kind of, I think he has the pulse on bridging the gap between these acts who were in their primeness, or technically in their prime in a couple of years back, but then just sort of putting that like modern pop sound to their new work. So I'm excited to hear what Paul will come up with him, because I really liked the Iggy Pop album in particular that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's always hard to say with producers and Paul, because Paul can sort of steamroll the producer and it ends up just sounding like
right
Paul anyway. So it takes someone with some real guts to sort of stand up to Paul and put their own stamp on it. I think, you know, over the years, Jeff Lynne sort of did on Flaming Pie.
Right.
But other than that, I can't really think of anyone who's made Paul not sound like usual Paul. So.
Right.
I'm excited and hopeful, but again, this is all just speculation at this point.
Yeah. Where did you hear this rumor, if you don't mind asking?
It was on the Steve Hoffman forums, so. If you're really jonesing for tiny minutia of nerdy trivia on music, that is the place to go. I'm not sure I recommend it. They're a little toxic over there. But if you want to get information, that's a good place to go.
Gotcha. All right.
In less optimistic news, Denny Lane, the only member of Wings who wasn't one of the McCartneys, passed away somewhat unexpectedly just a couple months ago. And he was about the only thing that kept Wings from not being just Paul McCartney.
Right. Yeah, I remember it was December 5th of last year, 2023. I remember reading about it because we had, you know, started digging into these albums, and very sad, definitely a loss. I don't know if he was still making music or if he had kind of retired from the business at this point, but you're right. Yeah, he was the little sprinkle of something in Wings that I think makes the difference between Wings and all of Paul McCartney's other albums. Not criticizing, I love them all, but just kind of, I think he was that difference maker.
Yeah, Wings was not a very distinctive band, but what little distinction it had came from the fact that Denny Lane was always there.
Right.
Sometimes he was the only one there, but he was there.
Right. Right.
And speaking of albums where Denny Lane was the only one there, there are anniversary box sets being announced for both Mind Games and Band on the Run. They both came out in actually 1973, so that would actually be 51st anniversary box sets. But the Mind Games one is coming out in June. The Band on the Run one will probably be out by the time you hear this. It's coming out in February. The most interesting things about this is the announcement of these box sets sort of makes one conclude that other box sets that we had hoped for are not happening. We were hoping for a London Town and Back to the Egg archive collection, and that clearly is not happening now. And also, there was talk of a Sometime in New York City box set for the 50th anniversary of that, and the fact they're skipping that to go to Mind Games, which, you know, from a commercial standpoint makes sense. But it would have been interesting to get both of those box sets, since those are lesser known albums, and sometimes that's the best way to really appreciate them, is to get the deep dive that a deluxe anniversary box set would give you.
Right. And interesting that they opted for 51st anniversary as opposed to 50th. Maybe it just wasn't ready on time.
Yeah. I know Band on the Run didn't come out till like December of 73, so it's pretty close, but I think, yeah, it just is ironic that neither one quite made the cutoff.
Yep. And that concludes our Beatles in the News segment. Scott, you want to give us a rundown of the albums we're going to be covering next time?
Okay, next episode, we're going to be tackling the aforementioned Sometime in New York City by John and Yoko, Wings' first album, Wildlife, the final disc of All Things Must Pass, sometimes known as Apple Jam, and Ringo's third single, Back Off Boogaloo. So it'll be a tricky one.
It will be interesting. I am looking forward to getting into these. We've kind of, I think, come over the arc of the first two albums. Like, the Beatles were still pulling from their backlog of stuff they had worked on back in the 60s. It's kind of like that. There's a saying in the making of music where it's like you have all the time in the world to make your first album, and then like a couple of months to make your second album. And I feel like for these albums, they had all the time in the world to make their first and second, because they had so much time, they had enough songs to put on both. And then now they're kind of making those third ones in a little bit more of a constricted timeline, with the exception of George, because it's from the same album, but it's disc three, and it's, like you said, it's some jams. So, you know, I'm going in with an open mind, and I'm excited to hear what I discover.
Yeah, so definitely tune in next month or whenever for that episode. And in the meantime, we do have an Instagram page and a Facebook group, and we're on all the social media things. So reach out to us. Tell us what you're looking forward to, what you've been listening to, what you think of Coochie Coochie. That's, you know,
please,
clearly what this whole podcast ultimately is about. And until then, you know, enjoy yourself, and don't forget to smash that subscribe button.
See you next time.